This episode is brought to you by Doghouse Systems at doghousesystems.com. My favorite custom-made computers. Oh, man. They're so fast. Go check them out right now, doghousesystems.com. They're great configurations, both desktop and notebook. When you decide to buy, use the code FROGPANTS at checkout and get a free SSD drive, which is really the same as saying solid-state drive. Anyway, it's absolutely for free, 120 gig worth. Right now, doghousesystems.com and the code FROGPANTS.
I am Illyria Windrunner. If you stand against me, you're just another target. And I never miss my mark.
You're listening to The Instance.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance, episode 428, for hell's sakes. My gosh, it's Friday, October 16th, 2015. I'm Scott Johnson, joined today. Before we tell you about our guest, I'll tell you about Dills. Hello, Dills.
Hello, Scott.
Hey, man. Tell me a story. How you doing? What's going on?
I'm doing well. I have a giant bright light in my face. I'm incredibly excited for our guest today.
Yeah, and you got a green screen, and I think that's
right. Green screen, yeah, correct.
That's super cool. If you're not watching the video live, hey, you should think about it. Come here on Mondays, usually at 10 a.m. Mountain Time. Come watch
Mondays.
Us. What did I say? Mondays? Fridays. Thinking of the Angry Chicken.
We got a backward week going here.
What the hell? Joining us for a very special episode of the show, someone you all know mostly from her coverage of BlizzCon last year on the virtual ticket. You saw her face there. You see her all over the place when it comes to Blizzard and other video games. You may have also seen her in Slaughterhouse of the Rising Sun in 2005. I don't know. Maybe. It's Michelle Morrow with us. Michelle, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for the surprising intro.
Well, you know, we knew you did the voice of Illyria. And by the way, you may not be able to say this, but does that translate to hearing her again in other ways, like seeing her in the World of Warcraft again, maybe, or seeing her in some other form of media in the games?
Well, I sure hope so.
Yeah, that would be cool, like, right? I mean, a Heroes of the Storm character.
That would be cool. Yeah, I think that'd be pretty cool. It was cool. Look, you know, if it ever goes another way, it's, I don't know. I have no idea where they're going with it, but God dang, it was so awesome to just be able to do it for Hearthstone, like that alone. But hey, it's gravy on top if I get to do like Warcraft and everything else.
Yeah,
we'll see.
How about a Heroes of the Storm, Illyria?
Yeah,
let's do
that
it.
That would be pretty sick. I think fans would be like, "What?"
Yeah, you could have little arguments with your sister in the Nexus while you're waiting for the match to start.
I was hanging out with last night at the Geeky Awards with Courtney Thomas. She's the voice of Varisa Windrunner. So I was like, "Hey, we're sisters."
That's pretty cool. Having a few friends in the voice acting business who do a lot of work for Blizzard. My understanding is that they are awesome to work for in that way. And
they're amazing to work for. Yeah. Andrea Toya is the casting director. She's incredible. She's one of the best in this industry. And I've been in this industry for, oh God, like nearing 18 years. She's one of my favorite people to work with. It was cool when we did the, I auditioned for the role. I had a call back and everything. And we recorded her voice twice. The first time we did it was a little bit more regal and high elf, that kind of feeling that you would think from Illyria in some ways. That's the way they wanted to go with it originally.
Yeah.
And then they changed it because, you know, she does hate orcs. She does hate trolls. So they want her to be far more rebellious and cocky and more like that. So we recorded it a second time so that it would go along a little better with not only the character, and I felt that was a better decision as well. But yeah, that's how they voice directed it. And it was a joy to do it with her because it was easy and seamless. And she makes you feel good while you're in there. And yeah, it's fantastic.
That's awesome. Well, congrats on that. And seriously, Slaughterhouse of the Rising Sun, 2005. Everybody check it out.
What is this?
I
need to see this.
Oh, my God.
It's her first movie in Hollywood.
She's digging into my archives.
I just found it on IMDb. Her original role was Violence, One Love. What the hell kind of name is that?
Is this a sackable movie?
That's my gamer tag on a bunch of stuff, too.
Well, nice. When I first saw it, it was in We Were Playing Heroes, and I said, that's a great name. Where'd you get it? And you said, it's from my first movie. And I went, all right, got to track this down before she gets on the show.
That's how you did it. Yeah, Violence, One Love. Yeah, it was the very first movie I did in Hollywood. I used to do a bunch of horror movies before video games. So, Yeah, that was my very first role.
Nice. Well, violence, one love. We're glad to have
you. Tagline. Sometimes people are more interesting when they're dead.
Right.
Wow. Yeah. That is awesome.
It's awesome. It's like this random, like, found footage-y kind of thing, like, way post, like, what was that one?
Blair Witch Project, Blair like Witch that. Project.
Mm. It was, like, post Blair Witch, but, like, they were, because we filmed it in December of 2000.
Yeah.
It didn't come out until far
2005,
later.
2005, it says, yeah.
Wow. That's when it released. So IMDb is not the most reliable
sure.
source in the whole world, but sure. I don't know if you guys have noticed, like, half my credits aren't even on there, but they, that's the year that it was actually, like, picked up. I can't remember even what production company got it, but they were playing in movie theaters in Europe and shit. It was crazy. Oh, wow. Shit?
Yeah, you can say shit. Shit is
okay,
good.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Playing in movie theaters and shit. And I was like, wait a minute, hold on. Can I get a copy of it?
it's out.
Yeah. Well, Dil, yeah. I can tell you from experience, Dills and I have one credit in IMDb for a movie.
Have two, Scott. This proves why IMDb is totally false. Oh. The other one is not me.
It's not you, but you're in there anyway. Yeah. Well, we're in there for this Race to World First documentary about World Warcraft stuff. Yeah, so we were in that, and that's cool. But somebody went in and turned my bio into a copy and paste of Steven Seagal's bio.
So, wait, what?
Yeah, so it's super accurate, as you can tell. It's,
that is amazing. Yeah. By the way, plot keywords for Slaughterhouse of the Rising Sun. The first one is urinating on ground. Now I've got to see this movie.
Yeah. There's the chick, like the main chick, she like pops squat. She just takes a leak.
Pops a squat. Oh, man. Yeah. I haven't heard that in a while.
She takes a leak in the middle of a desert. I don't know. We're like hippies. It's supposed to be like this 1970s like Manson murder movie.
That's great.
Like not the greatest movie.
Yeah, we got to get our hands on it.
Like this, though, I really do.
Yeah, they're great.
If you like shitty horror movies, then you'll like a lot of my work.
Yeah. Well, all right. I'm stoked about it. Hey, before we get into World Warcraft news, which there's some to talk about today and our reactions to it. There really is actually this week, which is shocking. I want to talk about BlizzCon just real quick. There's something weird going on with what we don't know. And there are two major things we don't know. And I thought, Michelle, aside from the fact that you are co-hosting again this year, you'll be, you know, at the desk doing the broadcast. Mm-hmm. So therefore, you probably have privy to information that none of us do, and we are totally fine with you shutting us down and saying, no, I can't say anything about any of this.
Can't say anything about any of this.
Okay, great. That's kind of what I figured. But we still don't know who the music is. So, Dills, what do you think that means? Do we not have a musical guest this year? Not that this is the most important thing to people, but,
no,
you know.
No, I think there is. I've heard grumblings of some, like, rap rock type of band, but, you know.
Mm. Grumblings. I like that. Yeah.
Grumblings.
Sounds shady.
Yeah. It was very shady. It was a guy in an alleyway and he was like, come here, man. Yeah. It's going to be a rap rock group. One of them kids bands. Yeah. I've heard it's going to be a band that's pretty big.
Yeah.
But I, it's probably, if that's correct, it's a band I'm not going to go see.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm still.
After Metallica last year, it's really tough.
It's tough to follow that up.
Because they're just so iconic. I mean, Metallica was never my favorite band in the whole world, but at the same time, I loved a lot of their music and a lot of their songs, and probably not a band I would intentionally go see live, but damn, they killed it.
Yeah.
No, they're absolutely. I grew up, I'm from San Francisco, and they're like the San Francisco metal band, right? So I actually like dated a girl who lived next door to Kirk Hammett and stuff, and one of my friends was the nanny for Lars Ulrich, the drummer. Like, it's just a weird thing in San Francisco, but
yeah.
It was amazing. And I actually had never seen them live.
Oh, because, really?
Because, again, like Michelle, I'm not going to actually actively go out to see Metallica because, you know,
sure,
they're a huge band and a huge venue, and I usually don't like those kind of shows. Yeah. But at BlizzCon, with the media pass right next to the stage, I was like, hell yeah, let's do this. Yeah, and it was amazing.
You don't get as much of the contact high at the BlizzCon one, though.
And they treated it very seriously, too. They put on a big, giant Metallica
show.
They
kept going, too. Yeah. Like, they kept singing. I was like, damn, they're enjoying themselves. And that was cool. I know what you mean. Going to see a band in a big kind of show. But I will say, I'm seeing the Foo Fighters this weekend in Anaheim.
Okay, well, that's worth it.
And I'm totally doing that.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see what happens. I still hold to the theory that if Deadmau5 hadn't lost his 700 Paragon hardcore character in Diablo, he would have been the guy.
Damn, I know, right?
Yeah, that was ugly. All right, well, we'll see. I don't know. Who knows?
Scott, like, what's your speculation?
My speculation is, I don't know. Like, everybody's been talking. There's been rumors floating around that they would do a returning act. And I know a lot of people are very fond of the Jack Black, Kyle Gass moments that happened.
They don't really have anything new. It would make sense if they had new stuff, maybe.
Yeah,
but
I guess so, because they would want to try to tie that stuff, unless they've got, you know, friends on the inside, and this is all a deal they make because everybody loves each other or something. But
sure.
They were pretty great, and the Foo Fighters were also good. Outside of that, Ozzy's too. He can't do it anymore, I don't think. I think he's done.
Does he do anything anymore?
No.
Yeah.
He did that interview with, I can't remember who it was, 60 Minutes or somebody, and they asked him if he's, how he's doing, and he just, you couldn't hear a word he was saying or something. There's something, I know, it makes me really sad. So he's kind of in a bad place. So I don't know. I really have no idea. I really was 100% sure, given all of the kind of Blizzard love between Deadmau5 and Blizzard, that we would get a Deadmau5 concert. And it would have been a different kind of concert than they usually do.
Yeah, that would have been the first, like, non-rock band. So.
But they're so into rock and metal up at Blizzard, it wouldn't shock me if your rumblings about rap rock may come true.
Yeah, it's one of those, like, metal bands with a DJ. That's what I heard.
Yeah, so. Metal band with a DJ. Wow. Mm. All right. I will probably be playing Overwatch or something during that.
Yeah, I'll be upstairs playing Overwatch. Yeah.
That's my thinking. Yeah. So we'll see. And we still have very little in the way of knowledge about, any big main stage announcements during the intro.
There's multiple StarCraft things going on in that one day, which looks like we're going to hear a lot of information.
Yeah.
We already know, though, what's going on with StarCraft, right? So
yeah, and the game's literally out.
We're going to get a ton of new information.
And the game's literally out like 2 days, 3 days after we get home. So
yeah.
It's
Legacy of the Void.
Did you pre-purchase, Scott, to get your Artanis?
Oh, yeah. I did that a while back. Yeah, and I'm jazzed about that game in general. I love the campaigns. So I'm really excited. I don't know. It's going to be a weird year for announcements. And my thinking is,
I'm excited about Archon mode, actually, the most with StarCraft.
Yes.
Because StarCraft's the only Blizzard game, I would say, that I really have not been able to fully conceptualize. Like, just to get, like, I've done story mode and whatnot, but it's still, I never know what to build when, and I get all, like, stressed out. I wasn't like that when I did the Warcraft RTS back in the day. I never got stressed like that, but there's something about StarCraft, and I have a lot of people who are willing to teach me how with Archon mode, so I'm excited for that.
Yeah,
it takes out
a lot of people.
Yeah,
it takes out half of the, because that was my problem with the game too, is that I could do micro, I could do macro, but I can't do both. And when I'm trying to do both, I just suck at both of them. And I'm like, I lost that fight. Okay, what's going on? Oh, I forgot to warp in a bunch of units. Damn it. Well,
the other problem is MOBAs, and particularly Heroes for me, have swooped in and kind of murdered traditional RTS for me. And created this hybrid between RTS and RPG that is so much more compelling that it's difficult for me to get as excited about it. But back in the day, like, original StarCraft and Brood War, I was all up in that.
Oh, yeah. And I still play through all the campaigns. The campaigns are amazing. But it's just when I get, anytime I get on the ladder, I'm just, immediately I regret it.
Yeah. But we're all getting Artanis, so who cares?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Artanis is worth it. And the story mode, it looks amazing. And, it's still just a beautiful game. So I'm all for it.
Time will tell. I'm
stoked. This is the first time I've been, like, super excited to play StarCraft. Like, I'm excited for this one.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, me too. I feel like they're really going to do a bang-up killer thing with this final chapter, at least in this thing. And I still hold out some hope that maybe there's a stage announcement about further StarCraft universe-based stuff.
Wouldn't that be cool?
I mean,
I agree with you on that. Like, I don't know anything about this kind of stuff, so I can talk about this. Mm-hmm. I have not been informed on anything for this. But, StarCraft is such, like, a great, rich universe of lore, and it's sci-fi, and it's cool. And, To me, I'm sure if the Warcraft movie does really well, like, I would love to see a StarCraft movie. That's the kind of thing that has fantastic lore that would just nail it perfectly. Mm-hmm.
The actors in that stuff.
I know they'll never announce that this year kind of thing. But, like, not until Warcraft is done. But, would be cool.
It all has potential, and you could even take this. I've said this before, you could take World of Warcraft and slap a StarCraft skin on it. Essentially, give me a StarCraft game that plays like World of Warcraft. Give me that MMO. And I would play it constantly until my eyes bled. Like, right now, I would do it. And I don't know that they ever will. They probably never will. But I'd love them to announce something in the vein of, I don't even care what it is. It's just another kind of thing in that universe. Would be a welcome thing. So
it's kind of an interesting thing to see where kind of the world of MMOs are just going in general. I mean, you look at it, like, across all game companies and just games in general, I mean, nothing is toppling WoW ever. I mean, it's just, that's the MMO always, it's always going to be. And, you know, they bring in, if they brought in another one, I'd be incredibly curious on how they would do, like, a, you know, what the pay model would be, like, what, how that would look.
Yeah.
It's very difficult at this day and age, I think, like in 2015, to onboard people onto an MMO because everyone understands what kind of time that takes.
Sure.
You see even people who are like Destiny players. That, I mean, that's essentially an MMO.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and people will play it and they don't have time to play other things.
Yeah, no, that's true. And I, you know, if Blizzard, whatever Blizzard does in the future in the, in this space will be interesting, but every time a big drop in numbers happens to World of Warcraft, I see that as less of a problem or an impact on WoW and more of an indicator of what the MMO market itself is doing.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, people aren't willing to have one game they play anymore. That's just,
and even then
I'm not, and it sucks. It makes my WoW suffer. It makes the experience suffer.
Oh, for sure. And you know,
it has for a lot of people.
Well, and part of that, it's a 10-year-old game, and part of that is, you know, there's a lot of factors at play here, but they're not, it's not like they're jumping ship and dropping the numbers down to 6 million, and then those 6 million that were there when it was 12 ran off and played another MMO that now has
exactly.
6 million players.
They just went to play like a MOBA, or they're playing Heroes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like they're not, it's not like they're losing people to, you know, WildStar or, you know, Star Wars Old Republic or something. Mm-hmm. They're really just losing them to probably their own games. Heroes mm-hmm. has really taken over. I mean, I'll see sometimes it'll be raid night and I'll be looking on. I'm like, okay, so my top healer is currently playing Rhaegar and
he's top
so,
healing in a match of Heroes. Sure.
Well,
Dills and I, you know that we know this feeling.
This happened to our team too. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this happened last night. We usually raid on Thursdays, and there I am playing Heroes, and I'm thinking, oh, they're all probably pissed at me. Just
yeah,
looking
I know
at
they
me
can
here.
See
know,
me
right?
on the damn. Yeah. Like, still, why do I not have an offline mode?
I know there was. I got in from San Fran last week, and I got on, and I was playing Hearthstone just because I was just so brain dead from traveling. I'm like, oh my god, and I sat down, I'm just playing a game of Hearthstone, just chilling, and I have like three of my officers write me, and they're like, hey, are you gonna play with us ever? I'm like, oh shit, I'm that person now. I'm the guild leader. What am I doing?
Yeah,
oh,
it happens.
No.
It happens. It's in a weird place. As stoked as I am for Legion, it's just where we're at right now.
I'm so excited for Legion. I feel like it's really going to just breathe some fresh air right back into the entire thing. And it's Legion really is giving us kind of everything. I mean, for at least me, I mean, it's given me everything I want. Like that's a whole lot of good in Legion. I mean, it's a whole lot of bad news, but like, those are all things that we want to know about.
Right. Totally understand. All right. Well, let's get to quick some news here. World of Warcraft news. 6.23 is hitting the PTR. Here's some things we can expect that are of some interest. There are new Time Walking dungeons being added for the Time Walking event stuff. Six dungeons from Cataclysm, to be specific. And it includes Grim Batal, Stone Core, Lost City of Tolvir. The Vortex Pinnacle, Throne of Tides, and End Time, all of which I'm fond of. I enjoyed
I completely agree. They were some of my favorite dungeons, to be honest.
Yeah,
like,
they were good.
I think that's Stone the last Core. Time I remember dungeoning, mm-hmm. like fully, you know, like being fully committed to going and running five mans. That's the last time I was fully invested in.
Well, to Warlord's credit, some of the best stuff I've played dungeon-wise was in Warlords. I don't feel like the raid experiences held up even to those. They were really, really strong and really interesting and challenging and had all kinds of cool stuff I hadn't seen in a while. But you're right. If you go back and you look at some of the cooler five-man experiences, I think the Cataclysm stuff holds up.
Tolvir and Stone Core. You don't like Stone Core?
Well, it's not that I don't like it, but it's just that people in pugs would always just die on
first
initial pulls, and it would be super annoying. Yeah,
but people died in five mans back then.
Yeah, that is true. The fact that people even died at all is pretty amazing. That is not the world we live in anymore.
Yeah, that's true. Also featuring in this patch, cross realm mythic raiding. They'll be testing that. So if you want to get your hard, I almost said you want to get your hard on. I'm going to stop. I'm going to back that up. I'm going to say if you want to get your hard rating on, there you go. Cross realm rating will be a part of that. And I guess there's some demand for it, or else I don't know why they'd bother making that.
Well, you know, I would think that it's for a lot of people who want to finish out this content prior to Legion, and it allows them to kind of jump in if they don't have the opportunity to do so with their guild.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. That's a good point. They're bringing back Valor, which is crazy. So yet another currency. I thought they were in the mode of reducing currencies, but bringing back an old one is kind of weird, right?
I know. I thought that was just gone, like, for good. But I guess, is it just for upgrades?
Just for upgrades.
I mean, again, I think it just really comes down to people wanting to feel like they finished the game, quote-unquote, like they finished the expansion. I mean, there's a lot of people out there who have played the entire time. Like, we have been like, okay, I've done all of the stuff. And then there's I haven't done any of the mythic stuff. So for me, I can hop in and do the mythic with other realms just because I don't have the same time, the zones that I can with my own at certain times. So it'll allow me to go in, like, do that or, like, upgrade my gear with Valor. I mean, it is odd to add a currency, but I think it's just for people to feel like they finished stuff. And there's nothing wrong with that, especially if you want them to continue on to the next expansion.
Yeah.
We aren't playing, like, me and Scott aren't playing at the level that we had been in the past. But if we like are raiding all the time, every single week, at some point you're like, well, I got all the gear now really quick and there's nothing really to do anymore. But now you can grind Valor.
I always grind some Valor. But it's good though. Like these little updates like that, you know, some people look at them and go, really? They're bringing it. In fact, the chat room is like, what? You're bringing Valor back? I'm like, well, no, this isn't clearly for you then. Cause somebody somewhere wants this. And, I think that's good. I mean, they respond to various types of players. And
most of the players out there haven't finished the content. Yeah. I mean, the majority of the player base have not finished it. So for them to be able to do that, I don't see a problem with it. I used to be a tryhard that would be really pissed off during ICC days, like during like that time period of like Wrath of the Lich King, where I'd be like, what? Somebody gets the juice. I did that first. You know, I would get really like angry. But now I kind of just see it as like, hey, everyone pays to play the game in their own way. So it's your money. You're paying for it. You play it at your own pace. Everybody got their achievements. So it says when you got it and that you did it first. That's great. That's really all you need. Yeah. I mean, I understand certain things being special. And I appreciate that Warcraft goes out of its way to make certain things special. But things like this, this isn't special. Just making sure you got a certain gear score by the end of whatever so that you can finish a, you know, piece of content that they worked really hard to develop that only, like, X amount of the player base have been able to see.
Yeah. Some players continue to see that as dumbing down. I read an interesting, a kind of a recap of Pardo's comments at that Unity conference. He's no longer at Blizzard, but he's still kind of talking about, you know, the process of building games at Blizzard occasionally. And his keynote featured a bunch of talk about that. And he spoke of this feeling of having to create a bunch of compromises in the game over time in order to do what you just said, Michelle, which is to include a broader base of players who all want to spend $15 a month and all want a slightly different game. And he flat out said there was no way we were ever going to make a game that satisfied every single player's needs. Yeah.
No. Yeah. But this has done a pretty good job, honestly, because there's a lot of people who play this game in ways I never even thought of, you know.
Sure.
They just play the auction house. They just craft a bunch of stuff.
Sure. People I'm starting up my World of Warcraft stream with Geek and Sundry on Monday. And it's all Blizzard games. It's gaming in general, but I'm starting off Blizzard games. And we're doing Pet Battle Guild. Like, for that kind of a thing. Because it's just kind of fun and fluffy and easy for a Twitch stream of that audience to do and have fun and play together. You know, you do pet battles, or you do PvP, or you do... Some people RP, some people raid cities. However you want to play, I'm all about that.
Yeah.
I find that to be the most interesting thing. I hate when everybody's playing the exact same way all the time, has the exact same gear, has the same build, is doing the same thing. I find it kind of interesting when I just meet people who are like, yeah, I just like to go hang out in Silver Moon City as a pirate.
Yeah, it's nice to
tell me more about that.
Yeah, it's nice to avoid the homogeny a little bit. By the way, when you're at the Geek and Sundry offices, and if you see Liam O'Brien from Critical Role, could you just punch him in the arm real hard for me? I'd appreciate it.
Oh, I love Liam.
Liam is the best. He's the best. He's Illidan. Don't hold that against him, but he is a wonderful human.
He is Illidan Stormrage. Yeah, yes,
that's right. Let's see. If you want that new Grove Warden mount, essentially the moose that everybody had been trying for years, here's how you get it. Defeating Archimonde is on heroic difficulty or higher will reward players with a mysterious fragment of dark power. This begins a quest. Again, all part of this patch. When you bring this fragment to the Druids of Moonglade, you'll learn a little more about what is in store for Azeroth and the Druids. Will give you a majestic Grove Warden mount in thanks for your efforts. This is apparently a limited time quest.
Uh-oh.
And if you don't get it, you don't get it. unless they decide to sell it. I don't know if that'll happen or not. But anyway, so that's going on. And then finally, season three is getting started. They're ending season two. So if you're into Warlords Arena, season three is coming. And I think that's pretty much it for Warcraft news. Not a lot going on. This is always the calm before the BlizzCon sort of time. You don't see a ton of new announcements in regards to Warcraft anyway. But there are a couple other things. Heroes of the Storm wants you to hurry up and buy that Treasure Goblin now, or else you're not going to get it because they're pulling it on the 27th. So another thing that is limited time only.
I feel like they may bring these back around. I think they're going to cycle these in and out.
That's a good question because like the piggy bank went away. The Nazebra went away.
Yeah, I got the Nazebra, but I didn't get the other one. But I feel like they're going to have like these and then cycle them in and out during the year. So it feels like you kind of want to go get it, but
yeah,
to have people like just never have a chance again. I don't know.
Like the holiday Winter's Veil version of Jaina, her skin. Mm-hmm. There's no way that's not back up on the store in the next few weeks or something.
I'm sure they will do like limited runs or whatever, you know, kind of thing. I mean, I would assume, I would hope that like little limited runs of like a whaled skin might come back. Who knows? Like kind of like the way they brought back Molten Core for like a month, whatever, like that kind of a thing. You bring back a skin every now and then for a certain event. Like Jane is a perfect example for a holiday skin. Mm-hmm. But I like the fact that there's, you know, collectibles and times that only certain people get a certain thing. The Treasure Goblin mount's awesome.
Yeah, it's the best mount in the game, dude. It's the best thing in there.
So funny.
Yeah, I freaking love it. You want to see something funny, you put Stitches on there. It looks
like Diablo on him. Yeah, exactly.
He just looks like he's got two tiny spindly legs hanging out of his ass. It doesn't even look like he's riding a thing. But they're going to switch some of that stuff up. It's a weird kind of form. I did want to say this about it. It's a weird form of false scarcity in the sense that it's just a digital thing they could sell anytime for gold or money. And it's weird that they, and not just they, all games that do this, they create this false sense of limited time only. We've only got so much room for all these treasure goblins. And
it's the only way to do it though, really. Cause you know, you have to create that or else people don't have that sense of urgency around it. And that's fine.
Yeah.
This is all true. It's fine because they're not anything that will enhance your gameplay. None of these things are anything that's going to make you a better player.
True, yeah.
They're just
yeah.
things that will make your experience more personalized and more fun. That's all. Yeah.
You guys,
if there was a hero that was available for a limited time only, people would have a problem.
Yeah, they would.
A little different. Yeah,
that is different, and that probably won't ever happen. But I say
actually,
probably
people have a problem with Artanis being available early for some people. I don't know if you've heard.
Yeah,
about
they
that.
Don't like that. Why?
That's also different. I mean, that's not going to. I don't know. I mean, that gets a little bit of a slippery slope area.
I get it. I wish that they had just done like a cool skin or something like that, but and just released it at the same time for everybody. Because it is true. Like, if you're playing like high level Hero League and he turns out to be amazing, and you're like, well, I can't get it unless I buy this game. I'm not going to play. Mm-hmm. This is the only game I play.
Yeah.
Then I can understand that feeling.
And also you're giving people some added time to get the character down and use them in Team League. And,
sure, yeah, they're going to be better at it, you know, the moment it releases for everybody else.
And you're trying to
make
everybody competitive.
We're still in preseason. I don't even know what the hell my rank even means. Like, why do I care?
I finally did it, you know. Me and Mick are rank buddies. They also put me at 50.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So
he's climbed out of that hell, though. I think he's, like, in the mid-30s now.
Yeah, I'm working my way. I'm not playing it enough to make any real progress, but I'm in the mid 40s somewhere.
Every time I play on stream, it's just with like viewers, and so I just don't. I'm like, I don't want to do this on Hero League.
Hardcore,
I want to just do quick match because I don't know how good or bad it or what MMR everybody has, and let's not try hard here, you know.
Well, I'm just saying, if Mick got put 50, there's something up with the algorithm. There's no way he should have been at 50 to start out with, and I've other people who I'm better than who were put at like 32.
It's whatever your
well,
MMR.
It's hard to know as well because it kind of depends on who you've been paired with, like what you're like. There's so much to go along with that rating with that MMR. So who knows, like exactly how they figure it all out. I'm sure it's not perfect right now. I know. I wish my rank was higher. Like the fact that they made it only two instead of three players for Hero League, you know, because it was 2 to 4. I understand bumping it down from 4 because that got a little OP, but. You know, 3 was kind of a nice sweet spot for my boyfriend and I. He gets off work pretty late. He's not like a full-on gamer the way that I will be. So he'll want to play Hero League, and I'm like, oh, but you haven't played as much.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to ruin my rating, honey. I love you. Like, yeah, can we just play regular quick match?
It's kind of a problem. Like, did it, like, for example, did your MMR get dinged when you played with us that one time and we had that one guy in who was maybe level 8 and just getting started?
Yeah.
You know, and did it count because we were just playing Quick Match? I don't know.
Like, I have no idea.
I think they have one MMR, but it's a little weird. So I was talking to Notch, who's my co-host on Stormcast, and he's tryharding up to rank 1, and he says that a lot of players have actually started Smurf accounts, second accounts, just because they get a fresh MMR, and they're like, I'm better at the game now than I was when I started on my original account.
Of course there's Smurf accounts.
So, yeah, so what they're doing is they're running their MMR up from neutral rather than having to, like, gain the ground back that they had lost when they were learning the game.
Yeah, it's like having your record.
And they're able to climb faster.
Yeah, it's like, it's like having your criminal record expunged, basically.
Yeah, yeah. But also you have to, like, rebuy all the heroes, and you have to do all that stuff again. And
that's
you don't
true.
Have all your skins. And so I hope what they do is they just do a full reset wipe of all MMRs and start everyone from scratch at the beginning of, or a soft reset maybe where they like round up or down to something reasonable when they start the first real season.
Because
right now it's just, there's a lot of people who are not where they're supposed to be and some people who are way higher than they're supposed to be. And it's just really bizarre.
It's
so.
Super
it's strange.
Weird.
It's strange.
Super, yeah. Super weird. I mean, people who go from 15 legitimately get to 1 and you know, hats off to those guys, but I just wish that was more transparent, or at least there was a path to knowing what you could do without getting extra accounts, without buying characters twice, you know.
Anytime there's hidden MMR, it's always funky. So when you get to, like, Legend rank in Hearthstone, you can win, like, 6 or 7 games in a row when you get to those, like, high ranks when you're in, like, the top 10, and you don't move up or down really anything, and you don't understand why.
Yeah.
And if you could just see, oh, this is how far behind I am from the guy at the next rank, so I'm going to have to win 3 games straight, then that would actually help players make informed decisions about whether they should queue up again or that kind of thing, especially when BlizzCon points are at stake. So,
oh, yeah, big time.
I would love to see a more transparent version of whatever the ranking system is in all the games.
Yeah, transparency is good. What else? Let's talk about Overwatch. Big stuff for Overwatch. Closed beta on the 27th. Much excitement.
Yes.
Everyone in the land is singing praises. I really, really hope we all get our keys that day.
I have it on good authority that I will be in there that day.
All right, so I spoke.
I do.
I do too as well, but the person I spoke to, okay, I don't want to give anything away.
No.
But the person I spoke to, I'll just say this. The person I spoke to who would absolutely know, I guarantee it, that's a person who would know for sure if I was getting a key, might be so busy on the top end of things that I get the key late. You know what I'm saying? So we'll see. I don't know. I'm very excited.
I feel like we got to just all just grind games all day on the 27th,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That's what we're doing.
Oh,
we
yeah.
all get it. Yeah.
I'm taking right. that day, whatever that is, I do for
like nothing else is happening
yeah.
that day.
Yeah. I'm not going to look now on my schedule exactly what's going on that
it's a,
day.
It's a Tuesday. So,
yeah,
you know.
Better not make sure you're
Wait,
not
27th, a Tuesday. Oh, hell yeah. I don't
oh, good.
Have
you're
day.
Not, you're not filming Amazon Chickens oh, from my. Space 4.
No,
or whatever.
That's the
All right.
Good.
Good. That's
oh, well,
good news.
Sad. I was really looking forward to that movie, but okay.
Don't worry, it'll come out. You know?
All right, good.
Well, a few details here. Closed beta will come first, limited to Windows and Windows machines only. Mac coming later. One would assume they did not get specific about that, but right now Windows only to a limited pool of people. That's why it's a closed beta.
Yeah,
they're gonna
so
do.
We're gonna see the same people over and over again too. It's gonna be like when Heroes first was out.
Oh yeah.
You just play the same dudes.
Yeah. What's great about
Or girls,
exactly.
Well, dudes, I use dudes in the inclusive girls and guys.
I like that.
Yeah.
I'm into that. I say dudes a lot. I mean, you did that. I mean, I still see that with Heroes, honestly. Like, when I go into Hero League, I still see that, like, I'll be on a team with a certain group of people, and then I'll queue up again. And
then
Hero League, it's like, I'll see them either on the other team or on my team, and I'm just like, oh, what's up, guys? So we're the only people playing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no. Last week, in the same week, I got matched up with the BlizzPro guys. Total random, and it was just a quick match, and we both happened to be streaming, so it was pretty funny, and we killed him, I would like to mention, and then we got matched up with somebody else, some other team, or some other show that does a show for the thing. Anyway, that happens a lot, and I don't know why that happens. I don't think it's the same 20 people playing the game, and that's it. I think a lot of people are playing Heroes right now, so I don't know how this keeps happening, but maybe it's part of that MMR thing. Who knows?
Yeah.
What else are we getting? Let's see. So they're going to stress test it big time. It'll be after BlizzCon for the major stress test. Initially, this is America only, then European servers after that, no time frame, and Asia after that, and also no time frame. The biggest thing to come out of this that interested me the most, it came out of some of the streams, was somebody mentioned a link somewhere, and I went and found it on overpwn.com. Some metadata for the Battle.net site has a quote in there. And if you click this link, you can see it. Or people at home won't. But
This is interesting.
It says in the description, the meta name of the page content says Overwatch is Blizzard's team shooter for PC and consoles. And then goes on to sort of express the rest of the description of the site. I think we all had it in our heads, probably consoles at some point.
Yeah, the game is like perfect for
consoles. It's kind of made for it. Sure, it'll work great on PS4s and Xbox Ones, but I guess this sort of confirms it without them actually saying it. And
What did they say? What does it confirm?
It says it says Overwatch is Blizzard's team shooter for PC and consoles. This is taken from This is taken right from the webpage metadata at Battle.net. Now I don't know if that's still up there. Or it may have been removed, or I don't know, but it feels like a leak to me. But that still seems like confirmation. I mean, I guess I'm excited either way. We still don't know what their pricing model is. They didn't say.
I mean, I don't know why they wouldn't.
Games of this nature. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about other kind of shooter brawler sort of games that they have like this of its nature, which whatever they're calling it these days, shooter, hero, mm-hmm. hero shooter. But like, you think about other games of this model. I mean, usually you see a game release, you purchase it, you buy it, it's a game, and then you have it either on PC or consoles, and then you have in-game options to upgrade, like, skins, or you'll get rewards based on how far you've gone and ranked on that character or whatever it is. I'm sure, I don't know, I would be shocked if it was anything different than that, personally. I mean, I feel like... I mean, I have no information on this at all, so it's not like I'm leaking this. I don't know. But if it were me, I would love to be able to see it on consoles, on computer, on everything. I feel like the best way to do it is just buy the game for $40, $50, $60, whatever they price it at, and then you have it, and then you get your DLCs and everything that comes along with it.
I kind of hope that, too, just because I feel like I don't want everything to be the Heroes model. I think the Heroes model is okay, but some would argue the Heroes are a little expensive compared to other MMOs. The stim packs don't really do a lot for stimming you to get better XP and gold. Like there's some criticisms to be made there. And if they're going to do that here, there are already enough characters in this shooter to represent a large investment. If you want to,
I would be massively shocked. Yeah. If they did a free to play model. Like honestly, I think that would be odd given this is a different kind. This is like a AAA game. Mm-hmm. This is a different kind of game caliber that they're kind of going for. I mean, Blizzard isn't known to be on console outside of Diablo, really. Like, we're not looking at games, huge IPs that they have on consoles. So for them, I don't see this any different than, you know, any of the other massive games that come out, like Destiny or whatever else.
Well, here's the question. So in 2007, when, say, Team Fortress 2 came out, that came out at a time that you would pay for that. Then it, at some point in 2009 or 10 or something, went free to play and has been since, and they sell hats for it, basically, and skins and stuff, and that's how they make their money on that thing.
Well, in that game, you can buy, like, maps and stuff, too. Like,
yeah.
You can do all sorts of stuff, which you won't be able to do in Overwatch. Like, they're not going to have, like, a map creator...
Right.
No.
But my point is, or my question is, are we past a time when a multiplayer only shooter, the other thing confirmed this weekend again, that they're not putting a single player campaign in this.
Where was that actually confirmed at for sure that they're not doing story mode at all?
So this came from, and the at all part is important, I guess, because this was on the live stream. So they were talking.
It's the planned, but yeah.
Yeah, they say no single player campaign planned. So that very well could mean down the road, yes, we'll get that. And that'd be great. I'd embrace that.
But they did say, I remember at BlizzCon last year, during the Q&A stuff, they were saying, well, we don't have plans for that at this time.
Yeah.
Like, right they now, always we're just say stuff on... like that. That's like Blizzard everything. They're like, well, we don't know right now. That's always what they're going to say.
Sure.
I mean, I think it would be a travesty to not have any kind of story mode with this game ever.
Even if it's a little short one, right?
Yeah.
Like just a little one. Look at how amazing and beautiful that cinematic was last year. Everyone watched it and kind of was, it was funny because, you know, Jeff Keighley and I, we were aware of it, obviously. We didn't know, we hadn't seen the trailer, but we knew about Overwatch like the week before. And like, you know, we saw the trailer and everyone was kind of like, wait, is this a movie? Is it content? What is this, a game? Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
People were freaking out about it because that story that they showed us right from the start was so compelling.
Yeah.
We loved that right off the bat. I think they would be kind of remiss to not have a story mode, but you know, I'm sure those are things that we'll find out and figure out. I'm sure at this time they're not going to talk about it. Possibly BlizzCon will hear something.
Yeah,
about
maybe.
That.
And I
Definitely
we had
a question I'll be asking.
We had Metzen out here for Nerdtacular in July, and
yeah.
I prodded him constantly, trying to get something out. And he wouldn't. And he's so PR trained, he'll never do it. But he. No. But the truth is, there. You know, it sounded to me like, well, there's no confirming or denying anything. Like, in other words, nothing's off the table. It never is a Blizzard. So I'm with you 100% on that. I'm just wondering if we're past a time where you can launch a multiplayer-only shooter, because that's how it'll launch, at a price of $50.
Because I think I want to have access to all the heroes right away. I don't want to be earning heroes. The way that the game works where you're swapping heroes during fights, you know, like that just to me seems like if I don't have access to all the heroes, we're going to get some really weird homogenized games. Where people are like swapping between the two they have, and I don't see that really working.
Yeah.
I think you got to release it and give everybody everything, and then maybe in the future you can sell skins,
DLC, whatever,
DLC stuff, whatever. But
and
they're
going to
make a ton of money off of just the initial release of this if they just have it for $60.
And like, I know the lines between DLC and expansions are blurred, and how we get content now, it's all digital sometimes for some people, and half digital, half not, and all this sort of stuff, but. But they don't really have a game that in their arsenal where they do the DLC thing. They do expansions for Diablo and StarCraft, and for everything else, you know, for WoW, it's a subscription model. You know, they have these different models. The only model they've never experimented with, the way the rest of the industry has, is straight up DLC. So
exactly,
yeah. So I think you guys may be right. That may be the.
I mean, why not go into that territory? It's a territory that definitely works. It has massive fandoms. You can reach a huge base. Like, lots of people have those consoles. A lot of people don't have, like, great PCs that they can run stuff on. I don't know. I would say, yeah, that's my guess. That's my prediction. It'll just be, like, a regular AAA game.
Mm-hmm.
Except for it's more awesome.
My biggest surprise of the streams were this code or card voting thing at the end of the match. I didn't know that even existed until we saw these streams, and that looked interesting. They say that right now when you vote, they're like these little cards of achievements, and one will pop up and say, one of the characters did this thing, and if you vote for that being the coolest play in the game on your side, well, then he gets the most votes, and it's kind of this cool little social post-game thing. They say for now that's all fluff, but who knows? One day that could turn into earning upgrades or skins or whatever. They did say that they are interested in the idea of skins. They've got nothing right now to say about that except that it's a popular request, and there will likely be skins in the game.
Although you don't see your own character, really. So
the benefit is more seeing it on somebody else.
It's not the same as, like, Heroes, where you're looking at your character the entire time.
Yeah.
I wonder if there'll be, like, taunts or, you know, like, little things like that where actually you can see your character.
Like, camera zooms out. Well, they do. So Team Fortress is a good example of this with their hats and their stuff you buy. You never see those on yourself either. All those, you can see weapon mods and things like that. But still, there seems to be a market for people wanting to look different in the game and have that variety. So we'll see what that is. They also say they'd love to see some of their heroes show up in Heroes of the Storm. I think that while that's not a confirmation, it is a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, well, like, come on, really?
Of course we are.
Who are we going to see first, though? What do you think? I'm thinking, like, Tracer.
Winston and Tracer probably going to be your first ones.
Definitely. Yeah. I agree. Maybe Widowmaker.
Widowmaker, yeah.
I would say, yeah, they'd be... But, like, they're not going to put those into Heroes until Overwatch is out. I mean, there's way.
I have another prediction. They don't make Widowmaker. They just give Nova a Widowmaker skin. Because think about it. She's already that thing anyway.
Well.
She's that character class. She's sniping you, and she's stealthing around. And wait, can you stealth as a Widowmaker? I don't know.
No, I don't think
so. Okay, maybe not then.
But, here's what I think. I think Michelle's right, but I also think that what we get is like a pre-sale, and then if you pre-buy it, you get a free hero in Heroes of the Storm. We're going to get something like that.
Oh, for sure, yeah. Probably that. All the games seem to have that tied into it somehow.
At this point, Blizzard is doing all this cross-promotion, and it just makes sense here, too.
Yeah, they're getting good at it, too. And finally, Blizzard will host all the servers. This is not a game you can go, you know, rent a server space and run your own server like you can for Quake or Unreal or, you know, a million other shooters, even Call of Duty, which now has dedicated servers. So they are going to host all dedicated servers. They will be dedicated. It won't be peer-to-peer, at least not on PC. That is all good, everyone. That's infrastructure you want for a Twitch-based, fast-paced, low-latency game.
Absolutely.
So I'm jazzed about that.
Me too. I think that's awesome.
All right.
High five.
Yeah, high five, everybody. Virtual high five. Let's do some emails and calls real quick.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the town crier.
It is the town crier. Chance for you to be heard. Call us 801-471-0462. Leave us a voicemail or email us theinstance@gmail.com. Attachments and regular emails are both accepted. Let's start with a call about guns and bows in Legion.
Hey, Instance Crew. This is Jake, a.k.a. Azog, or Connor from BlackRock. My question for you guys is, how do you feel about the artifact weapons? I play a BM Hunter, and I've seen rumors and stuff that our weapon will be a gun, and it's quite upsetting because I like using bows when I play. I transform bows. Every time I get a gun, I transform it instantly. If I stay using BM, I'm forced to use a gun.
Yeah.
I can't work on any other variants. So am I forced to go marks now in the next expansion? Just want to see your guys' input. And thanks for what you guys do. And hope you guys enjoy the Hunter Talk.
All right. So wait a minute. This is a problem if you don't like transmogging everything.
I'm with this guy on this, for sure. I am a hunter. I always have been.
Yeah.
And I like my bows. In fact, I have a collection of bows ever since when I started from Burning Crusade. All of my void storage is bows. So, saying that, I'm not a fan of the guns. Some of the guns have been all right, but yeah, the fact that I guess it kind of depends on your spec and all that. I don't know. I mean, that is kind of a
stinker is because they're focusing so much on these artifact weapons that you don't want to miss out on the full Monty there.
Yeah,
how
it looks and all that is very cool, and you get to decide that. And then if my only choice is guns, it sucks. I always like transmogged all my guns into bows because I hated the sound of the gun too.
The whole time
I'm playing, I just got this damn gun sound.
The
going
new
off.
One's all right. They muted it and kind of tweaked
it's
it.
It's still not as good as just that nice, quiet little bow sound where I can concentrate on everything else. I'm with this guy 100% too.
Yeah. Here's what he can do, though. Here's what's going to happen. Or this is what practically will happen. Let's say that this is a problem for him. And for Michelle and for me.
And for you.
But let's just say that.
All hunters, by the way.
At the beginning, they force you to take that gun. Here's what's true anyway. Even if they gave you a bow, or even if you liked the gun, in a couple of months, you're going to transmog it anyway. Because no one wants to look at the same bow and see it on the same characters everywhere you go.
I do.
Well.
Yeah, but but the artifact weapons have the ability to kind of, you know, alter their appearance, and they look amazing. I don't know if I want to transmog that into some regular ass.
Well, that's true. The effect stuff's pretty neat.
Yeah.
Potentially, anyway, the way they described it. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we're going to get lucky and they'll do, both. Maybe.
Yeah, just give us options to have it be a bow or a gun, please.
Yeah. Our case specifically, we're the only weird case. All the other characters are I prefer maces. All right, we'll do the mace then.
That's true.
But we don't have that option, nor do we get, well, I guess we do now with survival, but we don't, you know, our melee options went away.
Yeah.
So, if you're going to play BM or, I guess Marksman gets the bow, right? Isn't that the deal? I don't know.
I guess.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. He'll be forced to play marksman just so that he can have a bow. And I don't know.
But then he can transmog his BM bow to look like the marksman bow. See?
Are you talking about the collar?
I don't know. Yeah. That's what I mean. Like he could, if I'm saying worst comes to worst, be a marksman, get that bow, switch to BM. Transmog the gun to the bow you got as a marksman. Do you think that's even possible? Do you think they'll let you do that?
Wait, so transmog one artifact weapon into another
artifact weapon? That's what I'm saying, yes. Because then you get your effects.
I don't even know if that's possible or how that works.
It may not
be. I have no... Either way, Hunter Talk!
Either way, this was a lot of Hunter Talk, and we appreciate it, listener.
I'm happy about that.
We're so sorry, but not sorry at all.
Not at all.
That is weird. I thought, I remember when Scott asked me to join the show, I was like, is the world ready for two hunters to be talking about.
Two guys that really love hunters, and now in 2015, can they handle yet another hunter?
But now we have good news is we have Terpster.
I don't think we can.
Well, hunters are great. Just admit it, everyone.
Ooh, dual crossbows. Yes.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Chat's talking about that. Oh, that would be sick.
Yeah. That's demon hunter
style.
Give me
that. Give me that as survival. I can survive with dual crossbows.
Yeah. That's the demon hunter I want in Legion.
We always talked about that. Like, how cool it would be to have, like, you know, a couple of, like, six shooters on your hip and you can pull them out, or double crossbows, or all that kind of cool stuff.
Yeah.
Well, never got it.
Nope.
Whatever.
You have to play it in Overwatch, I guess.
I always played a survival hunter prior to this last expansion.
What are you right now?
I'm Beastmastery right now.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I don't know. I'm just more of like a emotional player. So I have to play, you know, I have my cat that I raid with. That was my cat, Azriel. So, but it's memorialized in the game, which is very sweet. But, that was my first pet that I tamed, and so I always run with him, and I was just doing beast mastery because why not? We have other hunters in the guild, so it's not that big of a deal. I was running beast this time because, you know, survival wasn't really hitting it, at least at early stages of this expansion. So I can't run marks. I can't do the no hunter or the no pet thing.
No, me neither.
Well, I use the pet for raiding, and I just do the the focus shot.
Yeah.
So I still have my pet. It is weird to not have the pet, but I think actually the focus shot build is the top DPS build right
now. It totally is. So I was just never enough for me to give up what I love about having Henry by my side the whole time.
Yeah.
Same deal.
And I got Kitty, you know?
Yeah, we've all got our
pets.
Kitty
has different forms, but
we've all had our pets. They've all been around.
This is why hunters all get along.
Yeah.
Because we all share this certain bond with our digital animal.
It speaks to me.
No one can understand.
Nope. Yeah,
it speaks to me, man. Can't help it.
Wish I could feed my pets, man. Honestly, like
how happy they were.
All the stuff. I want to take care of my.
Well, you can
pets.
Still feed them. It just doesn't do anything now.
Yeah, no, you can do an animation.
Nothing.
Go buy. Hey,
Adil's every now and then, sometimes I'll just do men pet when he doesn't need it.
Yeah,
you know? just because I'm like, I just want to, I'm petting you a little.
I still own like 1,000 frostbite, whatever the hell they were called, arrows too, because you know I'm not giving those away. Keep those things. Don't let us buy them anymore. Fine, I'll keep them. All right, question about Diablo. It's a good one, too.
I'm just wondering, what are you guys doing at Endgame that I'm not? I beat the game. I beat the expansion. I maxed out a couple of characters, and I'm not sure what to do with it anymore. It sounds like you guys are having so much fun with it, specifically you, Scott. You're saying it's your favorite game. What are you doing that I'm not seeing? Is it like, are you playing with friends or just on your own? Let me know.
A little of both. The most fun I have in that game is probably solo, because Diablo was always a solo experience for me, even Diablo 1 and 2. So I think what may be happening here, and Dills, I know you're playing a lot right now too.
Yeah.
Michelle, what's your thing? How are you on Diablo? What's your temperature on that game? Michelle?
On Diablo?
Yeah.
I love Diablo. I've always loved Diablo. Diablo 2 is one of my favorite games ever. Yeah. Diablo 3, I haven't done seasons yet. Mm. For me personally, it was Diablo 3 was a good game that I played with my boyfriend. So we read through all the quest texts and would go through. It was very easy for us to play together. Mm. I'm not a fan of the two of us playing it at the same time on the couch, because that's like, I don't like the whole having to stop so you can switch out your inventory stuff. But I don't know. I love Diablo. I've always loved Diablo. I'm kind of curious, you know, more and more with seasons, the more they go with it. That seems to be like a really fun thing.
Yeah, this last season's rad.
I'm already like, for me, this is the deepest I've gone. I'm like Paragon 200 something now.
Yeah.
I got full Helltooth gear. It's once you like find like a new spec that owns, it's just the coolest thing ever, because you start pushing the levels of your greater rifts and stuff. And, yeah. Maxed out several gems now this time. And I had never done any of this in seasonal before. Like,
well, you just described the question or the answer. Then you're what you need to do is start, and part of this may be just looking around to see what other people are doing with the class you enjoy, and just start digging around to see what people are up to and what, you know, what combinations of runes and specs and gear are doing it for them, and what it takes to earn those things. And it's all about just finding better, more, higher, bigger. And if that is not a thing that excites you, and you would prefer to have narrative through the whole thing, this probably won't be the game for you.
Yeah. Neither it really is. Like, it's not about, because
you're essentially doing like the same thing over and over again, right? Like you're running these rifts and you're just like crushing monsters.
Yeah.
But you're just trying to like up how fast you can do it,
yeah,
how much damage you're doing, all the cool little things that are happening when you do, you know. So I've got like that gem that makes me like cast lightning around me every time I do spells. And it's just the most awesome thing ever to run in, drop a bunch of fire on the ground,
yep,
summon my gargantuan, and then just start blasting lightning all around me. It's like, I just feel super powerful. And that's awesome.
You and your witch doctor just vomiting all over the game.
Yeah, just damage everywhere. Yeah. Like, you know, I'm raining down acid on top of everything. It's just, it's cool.
Nazebo's gross.
he really is. Like, I have a bunch of, like, dogs and little fetishes with knives and a gargantuan. And yeah, and I'm just spitting poison all over the place. It is disgusting.
Well, you know.
I'm crouched and I got a fat belly. I'm just, it's, yeah.
It's like life, really, all those
wearing
things.
Wearing loincloths. It's weird.
So wait, quit telling us about your weekend and tell us about Diablo.
Yeah, and then I turn on Diablo.
And then I play Diablo. Anyway, that's about the best advice I can give, because if the grind, and I don't call it a grind in a pejorative way, if the grind is not your thing, you probably don't want to be playing Diablo. But if you'd like to just keep adding levels and adding gear and finding rad stuff and making tons of gold and then, you know,
I was where this guy was, though, at one point. I remember hearing you guys talk about it and being like, I don't get it, man. I got to level 70. I finished, like, beat Diablo.
Yeah.
Now, what the hell? Why do I still care?
Yeah.
And then I realized after playing, I just was like, okay, I'm going to force myself to do this a little bit. And I was like, oh, that's a legendary item I didn't have.
Yeah.
I must have more.
And there's so many you don't have. There's so many that you don't have, you think you have, but you don't. So just keep going, and then all this stuff rolls over to the next season, and oh, that's good. That game's good.
Yeah.
Let's do an email. We got one here from Lobster Shaver, which is not a great profession, I'm thinking.
No, not a lot of money in shaving lobsters.
No, they're not hairy, are they?
I don't think so.
All right. It's a weird one. Anyway, it says, hello, Americans and Euro people. Well, the Euro people aren't here today. If you were to buy every item in HOTS, it would cost a total of $947.36 as of this reading. And if you were to buy, that's almost a grand if you bought every character and every skin that's purchasable with money. Let's see, where you buy a bundle with every hero you already own, the price only drops by a dollar or two. With such a steep price for some, me being a college student, do you think it would be just as profitable if Blizzard had the ability to buy anything within the game with the game's gold and purchase additional gold with real world money? That is not an idea that others haven't tried. Lots of other free to play games on mobile, for example, do this, where you purchase in-game currency. That's the only thing you ever buy, and then that in-game currency is used for whatever.
It's a different way to do the same thing.
Yeah, it's kind of the same thing. But like, Michelle, do you think that's even a? I mean, they're not going to go back and do anything different than they're doing now. But how much more viable would that be versus what they do now with this kind of money gold combo?
Well, I mean, I think as long as I'm always of the belief, if it doesn't affect your gameplay, then it doesn't matter. I know that people want to be able to own all heroes. That would be great. I own all the heroes. It's not, you know, it's not an affordable thing for every single person. I think a lot of people find the hero that you really like and stick with that one, and then always play the rotations.
Mm-hmm.
Always get to play the rotations. They give, you know, six characters for free every single week that you can play on and test out and see and learn and everything you can. You can also try out heroes as well on their modes, so you can kind of get informed purchases. I'm not against skins and having a combination of real world money versus gold.
Right.
Because sometimes I personally don't have enough gold to buy something that I want. Because I like to spend gold. So,
sure.
I mean, I like to be able to have options. I do understand the dilemma, but I think it's a smart way to go to be able to have both of those options there. I think if you only did everything with gold, it would also dilute a lot of what they're able to give us in the game. I mean, there are a lot of people working on this game. There's a lot of talent that goes into making this game.
Mm-hmm.
So to buy an extra skin for $10 or whatnot, that's not going to affect your gameplay. There's really no reason. So when you're adding up that total amount, I mean, that was really cool that the guy did the math on all of it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all an optional amount. You don't have to spend anything. You literally have to spend zero money to play the game.
Mm-hmm.
That for them, that's That's just something that's like, I want that. Well, of course you want that, but if you want that, you have to earn it. And there are ways. I mean, I think every hero is purchasable with gold, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep. Yeah, well, they always are. They're always a little bit more at first, 15,000 gold the first week, second week.
It's only like certain cosmetic items that have non-gold options.
That are non-gold. And so I look at that as long as the heroes can be purchased with gold, as long as the heroes themselves are gold purchasable, that means that it's up to the player to go in and grind and play that out. And that also gives an opportunity for people who don't have the time to grind, the ability to purchase.
Yeah.
I just kind of see it as like, you know, whoever has the best way to, the time, I guess, on what kind of time they're looking at. If they don't have the time to grind out the character and do that, that sucks. I mean, I would say that blows. But I think that the person like that can crunch all those numbers definitely has time to grind out mm-hmm. some gold.
Yeah, my friend Bo has, he says this, basically, for people who are looking to buy gold in the game, they wish they could just buy a bunch of gold and then spend it in the game on what they want. That is essentially what you're doing when you spend money on the stim pack. So get a 7-day or a 30-day stim pack. Those boost your money. If you do the math, and I haven't done it, but if you do the math on how much actual gold you get per match, average number of matches per day or week or whatever, if you add that up, you basically paid for gold.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
I agree with you on that. And I always buy a stim pack. Like, mm-hmm. always. Whenever I'm playing, I always have a stim pack on because I get more gold when I play. Mm-hmm. I get more experience when I play. I get all those things when I play. And as long as you're playing with a friend and whatnot, you get extra bonuses too. So,
sure.
As long as the heroes stay gold available and the skins are optional and they don't affect your game and those can be real money, I don't see any problem with that. That's my opinion.
Yeah, and if you value it, you're going to spend more. The more you value the game, the more you're going to spend on it. That's just...
Right.
Yeah,
it incentivizes the developers to create more, too. It tells us, like, it tells them what we want to see. It tells them what kind... Like, it's like when they added the hero skins in Hearthstone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at that, they rolled out 3 of them. You know, there's 9 classes. There's 3 hero skins that have been rolled out. Okay, so is that a test? Is it something that they're going to do for all of them? Like, is it a way for them to see, like, are people going to purchase these skins? Do they want this kind of thing? And resoundingly, they have.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a way for them to look and see kind of what the market likes, what the players are enjoying, and what kind of funny things they want to see. I mean, the moment Sylvanas went up, I immediately bought that Ranger General skin. Like, boom, done. Like, that was easy for me.
Sure.
But, you know, I think that they're able to really gauge the audience by skins.
Well, they have to do this thing where they're selling it for a character for, let's say you bought Diablo, either $10 or you worked real hard to get the gold and you mm-hmm. bought him. Either way, you made an investment in a digital product that right now happens to be a little bit underpowered and not in the meta and nobody's playing Diablo much right now.
Sure.
Blizzard, therefore, has a built-in incentive because you spent real money or real time grinding the money for that character.
Yep.
They feel an intrinsic, we owe it to them to balance him up, get him to a place where he's better. They do it with characters all the time.
Yeah.
Let's have Tassadar be better support. Let's have, figure out what his role is better because players love him, but they're so lousy on the charts. Nobody treats him with respect. What are we going to do? They're constantly having to think about that, not just because the whole game suffers if one character's way out of balance, but because people really did spend real time and real money. I want them to feel incentivized to maintain the $10 you purchased, you know?
But I do think, though, that there's another way to do this that would still work. I mean, other MOBAs have already proven it. You know, Dota just gives you all the heroes right off the bat and says, if you want to buy cool skins and stuff, do it, and that's how we'll make money, and they're making a fortune.
Yeah.
So, and the fact that the gameplay is incredibly interesting because everybody just has all the heroes right away.
Yeah.
So you don't know what you're going to get. There's not some rotation where it's like, oh, well, all of a sudden I'm seeing a ton of Lost Vikings because it's free Lost Vikings week.
Yeah.
And I think that
it's also a massive overload of information, though. Like,
oh no, true.
With Dota, I mean, I love Dota. Don't get me wrong. Like, but it is a lot to take in.
Yeah.
And it's one of the reasons that it hasn't translated to mainstream like the way that Heroes of the Storm has been able to. I mean, look what we did earlier this year. I hosted Heroes of the Dorm on ESPN2. Like, how often do you... I mean, Dota did have...
Dota has
on a
$23 million final, though.
Yeah,
like, Dota's doing just fine.
I think Dota's doing
fine,
good.
But I'm talking about, like, just the difference between being able to look at that, like, to have somebody, you know, that might... be interested in playing the game, but is too overwhelmed by it. Kind of like the way I feel about StarCraft. Like, mm-hmm. it's just overwhelming to see all of that all at once. I don't know. I kind of like the ability that it, like in the way that League does as well, is it just kind of rotates around the heroes and it makes it, or the champions, and it makes it easier for us to kind of take that in. With Heroes, it's, you know, it's an easy onboarding. We know how to do it. It's team gameplay. And it can translate really well. People know how to cheer for it that way. Yeah. It doesn't have the prize pools as Dota, and it doesn't have the prize pools as League. But it does have far more easy onboarding process and still difficult to master.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. There's definitely, you know, while those other two games are here, like League of Legends is just out of control, freaking huge. But
it's massive.
But it's in. But it's there's this. In, I don't know if it's intimidation, but there's this weird barrier. Once you're in, and you do it for a long time, and you get the meta. Well, then you know the 12 or so characters are always getting picked. You know what characters are being banned, and then you play accordingly. And then you're in. You're in the club. Blizzard brings you into the club a lot quicker and a lot
easier.
But
I think there's other reasons why, though. Because for me, like, Dota wasn't about an overload of characters. I still just, like, went, okay, well, let me just start somewhere. And I just grabbed a guy and started. What made it hard was just the difficulty of the gameplay in that game. And the items and just the, like, there's an overload of everything, not just heroes. And I don't think that necessarily, like, the model of just giving you all the heroes wouldn't work in Heroes of the Storm. I don't think it has to be that way. But I think it would be fine. There's also, like, Smite has, like, a $30 fee, and you just own all the heroes right away. Mm-hmm. So there's other ways to do it that I think are all fine. But I also think that this one is okay, too. Like, there's nothing, they don't have to be homogenized. We don't have to have the same thing in every single MOBA and the same model. There's a lot of different ways to do it. All of them seem to be successful because all of these games are doing really well.
Yeah.
So, you know, yes, I get it. That's a lot of money. But the fact is, it's optional money. You will have a great time playing the game by spending $20, by spending $0, by spending $70. Like, I probably spend about $100.
That's probably where I'm at.
And I feel like I have everything I could ever need. Yeah. I will, of course, need the next hero when it comes out right. and the next one after that. But, like, right now I feel totally fine without having had spent, what, $947.36.
Sure.
I did not have to do that to have a good time.
Sure, sure. And Blizzard's not opposed to, you know, introducing new ways of doing things. When they introduced the dynamic pricing for the bundles, that was a win-win for everybody, because I was more driven to buy bundles because I wasn't having to double pay for things, and Blizzard wins on that front, and then I win because I don't have to double pay for somebody I already own. Mm-hmm. So they seem to be open to be willing to do that, but like all Blizzard things, these are iterative processes that sometimes take time, and if there is a day in the future where they have a $200 get you everything deal or whatever, then they'll do it if it makes sense. But
there is a weird kind of dynamic where a lot of people want to play for free but also just have everything.
Yeah.
And it's just not realistic for the player. Like, we get these kind of emails and Angry Chicken all the time where someone's just like, it's not fair that I have to buy packs and I don't know if I'm going to get the card I want. And I'm just like, well, you know, it's a free-to-play game, essentially, and if you want more stuff, you buy it. Like, that's how it works, right? Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's not ever going to be, like, fair where you just have everything. And it shouldn't be. The company has to make money. It's a business. Yeah, it is a business.
It is.
So
let them be creative under the business, and then we'll all benefit. And then some of us are going to be suckers and buy a lot more than you are, and it's fine.
There will always be whales that will essentially pay for all the free-to-play players.
That's what they call them now, right? Whales. Free-to-play whales.
Well, I mean, that's the term that you use in, like, casinos and stuff. Right?
Oh, is it? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, so a whale in a casino is a guy who, like, plays $100,000 a hand in blackjack.
I thought it was just a great big fat guy in a suit. I really sure, did. That too. I really did. I mean, no offense to big guys who go to Vegas. I just meant, I've heard the phrase, and I just thought, in fact, when I was in Vegas last time, somebody said, oh, he's a whale. I'm like, well, he's not that big.
Well, you're not a gambling man. Really, right?
Not really. So, I'd rather put quarters in a video game if you want the truth.
Sure,
but
sure. I know what I'm getting there.
Yeah, I can win there. Thank you for your email. Thank you for your calls. Thank you guys for your feedback. As always, a reminder, 801-471-0462. Get your voicemails on the show. You can email us theinstance@gmail.com. And that is going to about do it for the show. We got some.
You did see, though, in the middle of us talking that at 10 a.m., right as we started, the pre-orders for the 2015 BlizzCon stuff.
I did. I did see this. So there's an Overwatch jacket that I must own. I want that real bad. And those, what do you think of those Zergling slippers? Those are pretty cool.
I'm just about to post a photo of me symbioting my cat, so you can check that out on my Instagram at Michelle Morrow. Yeah, or on Twitter. Because seriously, I've been putting this on my cat all morning. I'm like, I'm
controlling. When you do it, do you go logical decision when you do it?
Oh, of course. Okay. We have lots of conversations.
Yeah. Well, that's amazing.
My cat stares at me, and yeah, it's weird.
This stuff looks really good. Yeah. Ugh. Gosh dang it. I've spent all my money on heroes.
Too much stuff to buy.
I
just like finally, because I was a little bit worried about, you know, the media passes and everything, because they're very slow to get back to me about stuff. But yeah. I was like, you know what? I can't wait any longer. So the hotel and flight finally taken care of.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, no more things to buy.
I know. It's same thing. You don't really know what's going to happen until you get there. But I'm very much looking forward to BlizzCon. Excited to see you again, Michelle. I know you're jazzed about it. You always do a good job.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so stoked to be back.
Yeah, it'll be great. Second year, man. Two times in a row. So what's your...
If you guys have any questions and stuff that you guys want to ask the devs, we're going to be announcing and rolling out some stuff soon here for people at home who have the virtual ticket who won't be there in person. If you guys want your answers, your questions answered, we'll be able to do that at the desk. So there will be things put into place for you to do that for each franchise and for each developer.
Yeah. And Dills and I will try to photobomb the desk while you're filming
awesome.
Stuff.
Awesome. Yes.
That'll be good. And, man, it's going to be a good time. So very much looking forward to it. Michelle, is there anything else you would like people to be pointed to? Anything happening? Your Twitter account? What would you like? Anything? The world is yours. It's your oyster.
There's a lot of stuff going on. I will say I start my my new stream. I moved from Nerdist over to Geek and Sundry. And
okay,
that
so not doing Nerdist anymore then.
I am doing Nerdist, but I'm doing for... I have a show, but we'll talk about that.
Okay,
later.
Cool.
That's a whole other thing. That's really cool. So I will be announcing a show with Nerdist shortly. I have a stream on Geek and Sundry every Monday from 1 to 3. This Monday, my first guest will be Bajira Wow and Warcraft Jen. Mm. I think we're going to play Heroes of the Storm and kind of rotate in and out with the community. If you guys want to check out twitch.com/geekandsundry.
Cool.
Also, I will be on the Nerdist stream. We're going to be doing an extra live stream this coming weekend, I think, or next weekend on the 24th. So if you guys want to pop in there, that's twitch.tv/nerdist. I have a show on Maker every Thursday called Multiplayer. That's with Polaris. And yeah, BlizzCon's coming up. So there's that.
Yeah. You have a lot going on.
Yeah, that's just the tip of the iceberg.
You have places to be and things to do. Don't even we're not even talking about your upcoming horror trilogy that will be called Attack of the Bloody Monkeys or whatever it is.
Hey, you know what? Every single month, I swear, around Halloween, I get Bled. Which one is it? Basement Jack. Basement Jack plays on TV around this time. It usually plays on, like, the Chiller channel where, like, horror movies go to die.
Yeah.
Like, just on, like, horrible channels, like, you can usually find Basement Jack. That's the movie I was injured on when I started to play World of Warcraft. So.
Oh, yeah. That's just, everyone knows that story if they saw the documentary.
Basement
yeah.
Jack. That was the movie, and it's a horror movie, and I'm the final girl in it. So that's usually on TV around around this time. So check my Twitter, and you can find out. Just at Michelle Morrow. Michelle is with one L, and that's across most social media.
2009's Basement Jack. Catch it.
I know, right?
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
So big.
Sounds like a good deal. Well, it was fantastic having you on. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Dills, you got anything going on you want to mention?
I will mention that on November the 1st, I am moving to my new schedule, so you'll probably be seeing daily streams and much more podcasting content, and a YouTube channel will be sprouting up as well pretty
nice.
Soon. So, yeah, we're finally not going to be working 17 hours a day. We're just going to, you know, 3 or 4 hours of the regular job from home, and then I switch straight into podcasting and content creation.
That sounds all right to me.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward
to
it. So, if you want to find all that stuff, just follow me on Twitter at Willie Dills, and then the Twitch channel is twitch.tv/WillieDillsSF.
If you watch this show via archive on YouTube, a quick note about that. I have also decided to clean things up on the YouTube channel and move the podcast's archives to a different channel. I'll have that linked up in the blog when this episode goes up, so you won't, if that's where you get it, you won't have to go anywhere new, but you may want to sub to the new channel. That'll all be explained there at theinstance.net. There's always a million things going on, so go check that out. At Instance Show on Twitter, at Scott Johnson, at Willie Dills, at the_T, and at Not Patrick for Patrick and Terpster. Our theme was made by Matthew Oxley. Big thanks to our intern, Paul Swickard, who takes care of the website. More shows like this at frogpants.com. It's going to do it for us, for me, for Dills, and for our lovely guest, Michelle. We'll see you next time.
See you, BlizzCon.
Yay! Hey, party people. You want to help out the show? I know you do. You can help out the whole network, actually. Frogpants.com goes nowhere without your support, your help, your listenership. And if you'd like to help even more, even just by a little tiny bit, go to patreon.com/frogpants. Thanks to everyone who helps the network there. And if you like this show, consider it. That's patreon.com/frogpants. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.